And the reason for this fellowship is for us to get to know one another. Realize that you're my brother, you're my sister. And I want to know the good things and the hard times you're going through so I can pray with you, believe with you, help you if I can. Because that's what Jesus is looking for. But that's not my message today. Jesus continues saying in verse 41, "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Have you noticed how hot it's getting? I mean, these days are, I don't think in my lifetime I have felt this hot before. I mean, I may have been, but I really feel it. Makes me wonder if all this talk about global warming has any merit to it. You know, I thought, I don't believe in that, but man, you go out there in the height of the day and you feel that sun is wicked. I don't read a lot about climate changes, but I've lived on this earth about nearly 70 years now, and 45 of those years is here in South Florida. I used to enjoy outside weather throughout the year, but now it feels awful hot during the day. Well, you know, and you will think, well, one reason is I'm getting too old and getting sun sensitive, which can be true. And out of the reason can be, it's actually getting hotter out there. Now, you remember in the book of Genesis, God promised Noah that there would not be any more global flood that would destroy the earth. But God did make another promise. He said, you know, I'm not going to flood the earth and destroy everything living in it again. But he did promise something else. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter declares in verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, melted, what manner of persons are you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." So, you know, we're always trying to make things permanent. I mean, I know that I heard a story of an Indian who heard the gospel and then told the preacher, "I don't understand you guys." This is the Indian speaking. "I don't understand you guys. You preach that Jesus is coming any minute, and yet you build buildings to last hundreds of years. That doesn't make sense to me." There's an expression that we call tipping point. I found the definition in the wisdom of Google. And the tipping point is defined as the critical point in a situation, process, or system beyond which a significant and often unstoppable effect or change will take place. So Maybe it's getting hotter because Jesus is just lit the match that's going to set the whole world on fire. So, what kind of person are we looking into our behavior and our attitudes and thinking we're going to last forever? You know, he may come any time and burn all of these up and create a new heavens and a new earth. You know, in the time of Noah, Noah was 600 years old. God was ready to cleanse the earth because the wickedness was so bad. And just like that time when Noah finished the ark, and just like the time when God and two angels showed up at Abraham's yard and said he was going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, today we are approaching the final end of man's reign on the earth. Our lease agreement on earth is coming up. It's coming due. God created this beautiful earth, dress it, and then gave it to man and said, rule over it, cultivate it, multiply, fill the earth, conquer it. And we pretty much destroyed it in our arrogance and our sin. And it wasn't supposed to be a permanent lease. God is coming, and he's going to take account. Just like when the time he gave talents to people, said, well, it's time to tell me what have you done. And then he was going to do away with that contract, and he would come with the rewards and the punishments. That day is approaching. Every day is a little closer. But God never executes a sentence without ample opportunity for people to repent. In the time of Noah, he kept the doors of the ark open for 7 days after Noah and the family and the animals went into the ark. He stayed up 7 more days for people to have a chance to go in. When he purposed to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he rescued Lot and his family before destroying those cities. Even when the time came for Nineveh, God sent Jonah to preach repentance to Nineveh before judgment would fall on them. And you know, as a shock that it came to Jonah, Nineveh repented. And the judgment was postponed. Later on they didn't, and God destroyed him. But at the preaching of Jonah, they repented. Today, God is sending you and I to preach repentance and salvation to this current generation before the final judgment falls. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus said some of the last words that he said on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. In Mark 16, Jesus said to the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. In Luke 24:46, Jesus said to the disciples, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Our God is the Lord of the harvest, and we are his workers in his vineyard. We have been called as our job to proclaim the good news about what Jesus did for us. In reality, you and I don't need to save anyone. We couldn't, even if we want to. Some of us use, "I'm not perfect," in an excuse to not witness. But perfection is not needed in witnessing. Actually, what is needed is a willingness to do it and actually getting up and going and doing it. Some people whom we minister to will hear, others will not. Some will be ready. Others won't even have a clue where they're headed spiritually. And that's why we need to spend time in prayer. You know, we think of prayer of asking God for things for us. And that's why the ministry of intercession is mentioned quite often in the Bible. God wants you and I to intercede in behalf of those that are being lost daily. You know, God already knows our needs, and still he wants us to ask. So we need to ask the Lord to place compassion in our hearts. Some of us don't care that there's a majority out there that is lost and getting ready to be burned and destroyed, like Jesus said at the end was going to happen. So we need to ask the Lord to place compassion in our hearts for them. I don't know how many of you remember how you were feeling the day before you came to Christ. But most of us felt like we were in a crisis. We were desperate. We were alone. We felt abandoned, hopeless, and hurting pretty bad in our hearts. Some of us have forgotten that. And we forgot the fact that somebody came and minister to us. We need to do likewise. You know, on Friday mornings, we used to have prayer every Friday here at from 7 to 8 in the morning. Well, it has been extended, and now it is from 6 to 8, to have ample time to pray for our community and for those who are lost. You need to come and participate in that prayer. When Jesus said, "Go," that included you and me. So just as Jesus extended mercy to you, you need to consider others who are headed for eternal hell and minister to them. You need to start praying that God would embolden you to speak to someone about salvation. We don't think too much about it. Ah, they're destined to hell. That's all they know. That's where they're headed. And you're not going to extend the mercy that somebody extended to you one day? You know, ask the Lord to lead you to a specific person. If you really mean it before the Lord, he will. I'm sure most of us have at least three people that we call friends or acquaintances that we know they're not saved. Start praying for at least three of those every day. You know, there's many ways to witness, and you know, all of our personalities would come out with different ways to bring in the subject of Jesus. But that's the goal. to bring the subject of Jesus. And some of us are quite hesitant to even speak the name of Jesus to our unsaved friends. A great plan to use is called the Roman Road. I mention it. I usually tend to be a more of a lecturer than a minister. You know, that's my nature. In Romans 3:23, the scripture says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So that's a great line to start a conversation. You know, we have all messed up. We have all done wrong things. We have all been short of making it to heaven, because in heaven there will not be any sin admitted there. And then you can jump to Romans 6, verse 23, where it says, the wages of those sins we talk about in chapter 3, the wages of those sins is death. But guess what? Jesus came to give us a gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. So we can speak about sin, we can speak about our condition, and I always want to put the aspect of repentance. You know, they need to know and have some understanding what are they being saved from. A lot of times say, yeah, Jesus will save you. You will have a wonderful life. Why do I need a Savior? If they don't know they have sinned and they are separated from God, they will not see the need for Jesus. They will not sincerely call on Jesus if they don't know their own sins, if they don't know their spiritual condition and where they're headed if Jesus doesn't come into their life. So, I like to read Romans 2:4. Do you despise the riches of his goodness, God's goodness, forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? So when we minister to someone, and usually when we decide to minister, somebody's ready, broken, lost. They are already feeling sorry for the choices they made. Now it's time to give him the answer. And so you seize the moment and you bring Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. And you tell them, you know that you've done wrong. You're separated from the love of God and the life and the eternity of God. But if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him as your Savior, that Jesus, you confess that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And this is why I say confession is so important, declarations. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, but then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so, as we witness to those that are ready to be harvested for the Lord, we need to lead them, but we don't do it for them. They have to own it. They have to realize where they are with the Lord, and then they have to invite Jesus in their heart. A lot of times we want to do everything for them, including their prayer of salvation. Let them say it. Let them acknowledge it. And once they do it, they own it, and they will never back out of it. I know we're all hungry. A few points to remember when witnessing. If you're intending to share the Lord, don't stay too long in non-Christian conversations. If your goal is to find somebody and witness to him or her, don't talk about everything else but the Lord. Just get to the point. You want to bring up the subject of the person's relationship with Jesus as soon as you can so that you know where they are. Are they saved? Well, rejoice with them. If they're not, then Holy Spirit, lead me in what to say. Don't get sidetracked with other conversations. Be specific. Don't get distracted with non-salvation theology questions. You know, people, when they're convicted, they tend to get religious. Well, what about this and what about that? Hey, stay with Jesus. Stay with Jesus. If there are physical or emotional needs that are obvious to you, then pray for them. Ask if you can pray for them. Maybe lay your hands on their shoulder, their head. But ask always. Be gentle, be nice, be courteous. Whether they make a confession or not, always have something to leave in their hands. A good pamphlet showing salvation, scriptures quoted. If they don't have a Bible, get them one. Highlight the areas that you want them to concentrate. And then if they want to make a decision for Jesus, lead them in prayer and rejoice with them. And how we started, remember, Jesus said to the ones on the right, when I was hurting, you came and ministered to me. They become part of the family of Jesus, and you are helping them become children of God, and Jesus will commend you for it. You know what? It is His commission to us. We are to be witnesses. We are to preach the gospel. And Jesus will reward us for something He commanded us to do. So, with that commandment, He said, you do it right. You do it. I will bless you. And so we should be thinking about those that don't have Jesus, that are headed to the fire, that just a little bit of it makes us so uncomfortable. Thank you, Lord, for AC. We couldn't live without AC out here. So, Father, I thank you for spelling it out for us, for giving us great promises that you would bless us when we do what you commissioned us. And Lord, that you didn't send us by ourselves. You send your Spirit to lead us and to guide us. And Father, I pray that we take seriously your commission to each one of us, because at one point we will give account to you, and we don't want to be put on your left. We want to be on the right-hand side with your children. Lord, I thank you that we, this family, are getting together today to break bread together, to share a meal, to get to know one another. I ask you to bless the food, Father, that has been prepared. And I pray that the time of fellowship will be beneficial to all of us as we share with one another and get to know one another better. I thank you and I praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So don't rush out and go back to your cave. Stay here with us and we'll feed you good. We get to know you, you get to know us. And yeah, I already did. All right, you're dismissed to the next building across. And leave me some.